Jakna went to the stone to the right of Snorri's.
I shall go first, then Hairview, then Fidelm and Firachar, then Marcus, Siobhan and Taha. Yaroslav, I want you to come last. And when you do step through, immediately move to your right. I want you to come in right behind me. I warn you all, after the one before you steps through, wait for at least a count of three, then go.
Fjakna took up her position. The rest of the elves followed suit. The humans took their appointed places. Snorri looked to Taha. The Moor shrugged and loaded his crossbow. Snorri did the same. Fjakna took out a silver chainmail gauntlet and cinched it onto her left hand. Fidelm and Firikar did the same. Hairview shrugged his twin war spikes off his shoulders and stood ready.
Move to your right when you step through.
I know that. Don't you think I know that?
Firikar glanced at the stars.
The time is now.
Snorri started as Fjakna winked at him.
I will see you in Poland, Yaroslav.
Fjakna stepped straight at the stone. The world seemed to dim like a hand had passed before a candle, and the Baroness was gone. Hairview stepped to the stone before him.
Yaroslav! Moonox wielder! My beloved Fidelm is not wrong. It has been too long since the last hewing. Let us, you and I, hew together!
Snorri stared at the stone before him in horror.
Sure.
He closed his eyes. He opened them, and Hairview was gone. Fidelm was looking at him. The female elf stuck out her thumb, forefinger, and then her middle finger, indicating a count of three.
I know that! Why do you think I don't know that?
Fidelm stepped toward the menhir before her. Things seemed to dim again, and the elf was inexplicably gone. Snorri would have preferred the flashes and swirling light of the stone ring than these terrible, dimming absences. Firikar stepped to his stone without a word. Snorri refused to watch. He looked up and the moon and stars literally seemed to dim for the briefest of moments, and that was worse.
God damn it.
One, two...
Marcus glared resolutely at the rock before him.
Three!
The Welshman waned and dimmed and disappeared into his rock.
God damn it!
Siobhan tossed his torch aside, put an arrow between his teeth, and laid another across his bow.
In the name of Allah.
He nodded to himself and went into his stone, muttering a verse from the Holy Quran around the arrow in his mouth. Taha tossed his torch into the snow. It guttered out and only the moon and stars lit the stone circle. Snorri was glad he didn't have to watch the disappearance.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu!
Taha was gone. Snorri stood alone. He glared at the men here before him.
Step through the stone. That's what she said. Step through the stone.
Only the wind replied.
Right.
Snorri stepped through the stone. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Save that the vast ring of stone glowed and pulsed before him in a million gem war of purple and white. Snorri snapped a look back and the menhir he had stepped through had been replaced by a heap of broken stones. A hobgoblin knife axe swung at his head.
Whoa!
Snorri shrugged up his shield and the knife axe punched through the wood slats. He swung his crossbow up beneath the hobgoblin's jaw. Snorri saw the bolt through the hobgoblin's tusks as it erupted and punched through the top of its head. He kicked the hobgoblin away as it went limp.
Ha!
Snorri tossed the crossbow behind him and unlimbered his axe. Firikar and Marcus knelt before one of the piles of stones, making small beckoning gestures. The rest of the stone stealers defended the operation. Snorri charged forward. The enemy was swarming. Fjakna deflected a spear thrust with a snap of her cloak and ran through the offending hobgoblin. A hobgoblin champion came on. Without pause, the elf withdrew her war spike and swung her cloak to wind it around her blade. The Baroness raised both hands high and snapped them forward. The leverage of the war spike sent the cloak flying forward. The cloak expanded like a gladiator's net and covered the charging hobgoblin. Fjakna yanked and the cloak singed and seemed to vacuum against every feature of the hobgoblin above the waist. The hobgoblin champion seemed to flail in drying plaster. Fjakna yanked again and the enshrouded hobgoblin stumbled forward to take the war spike through the left breast. Fidelm slew and slew. One moment she wielded the war spike in one hand like a sword, and the next she took it by the blade in her gauntleted left hand and wielded the 5-foot weapon like a spear. A goblin fell pierced almost per heartbeat. Hairview was a one-elf slaughter show. The giant seemed to barely look at a target and sent out a thrust with one weapon as he moved onto the next with the other.
Hello, Akbar!
Taha stood slightly behind the elves, skewering any goblin that scuttled past. Jatta defended the other flank with his spear whirling about him. Shaban fired arrow after arrow. The warband had done an effective job of decimating the hobgoblins, and all that remained were wounded and those who had not managed the retreat through the door. What the enemy currently had was goblins. Despite lightning and ravens, hundreds, perhaps thousands, had scattered into the trees, and now they streamed out to fight the hated elven enemy.